Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand spanking new episode of Not Aspirational with Hannah Brown. I'm your host, Hannah Brown. And welcome back. She's menstrual. She's sensitive. She's anxious about the world at large. She is a little bit drunk. She is lit the fuck up like a Christmas tree. And she is back. Can you tell I'm in a mood today? I keep wanting to start my episodes with a phrase other than... Welcome to a brand spanking new episode of Not Aspiration. But then that's always just what comes out. Just always what comes out. Woo! What a week we've had, everyone. Dina Manzo and her mob ties. Ghislaine Maxwell getting arrested. Fuck yeah, she did. We got taglines for Potomac, which is officially a month away. I also found out Kellyanne Conway's daughter, Claudia Conway, is doing iconic work on TikTok. I encourage everyone to check that out. I mean... fuck. I have whiplash from all this thrilling news. I hope y'all are having a great week. I hope you liked my interview with Ashley Nell Tipton. I think she's so inspiring and wonderful. Really quick before we get into the Roni recap, if you don't follow me already, follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. At Hannah A. Brown Zero, I have started doing these videos that are so fucking dumb, but really fun for me, where I act out ridiculous movie tropes. So I did like the best friend whose only personality trait is being sexual, or like the academic big sister, or like the nerdy best friend who gets left in the dust by the shitty lead who only wants to be popular. And it has been... such like a low stakes way to express myself creatively, because listen, I love podcasting, okay? I love screaming into the abyss on my terms, okay? But I fucking miss acting, y'all. And I haven't done it in a while. And I was like, you know, I've been white knuckling. I feel like the cadence of that just sounded like Mrs. White and Clue, like flames on the side of my face. No, but truly, I've been like white knuckling my acting career and being like, why isn't it happening yet? I want to do it. To the point where it doesn't even feel fun anymore. Has anyone else? I'm sure everyone's experienced that with something that you think you want, and then you like want it so badly that you're just anxious about wanting it instead of actually enjoying the thing. And so these TikToks have just been a really fun little way to combine my like insane passion for pop culture with like little ridiculous acting moments. So follow me and I hope you enjoy them. Also, if you are liking the show, head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and a review. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you don't like it, it's fucking free. You can just hit stop and keep it moving. Okay. Also, I guested on a couple podcasts this past week, so I would love you to check those out too. I guested on Adderall and Compliments with Annabelle DeSisto, and we talked about the iconic 90s film or early 2000s film, Get Over It, starring Kirsten Dunst, Vitamin C, Cisco, Carmen Electra, Ben Foster, Colin Hanks, Zoe Saldana. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. It's a great... Martin Short. It's such a great movie. If you haven't seen it, where have you been? Get on it, watch it, and then listen to the episode because we had a lot of fun. I also guested on the Raw Contributor podcast with Rachel Gans, and I also wrote an article that goes with it. And the whole idea of the Raw Contributor is to just get people to be open and honest and raw about their experiences in the hopes of kind of bringing everyone together and making them feel less alone. So it was a really fun time. It was a really raw interview for me. I cried. I opened up a lot about my mom and just some of the shit I went through in my 20s. So if that resonates with you, feel free to head on over and listen to that. And Rachel's awesome. So tune in. Read the article I wrote. Do all the things if you're interested. Also, if you just can't get enough of me, head on over to patreon.com/notaspirational, and just $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes. I try to do 2 a month. I've lately only been doing 1, but you know, I'm doing my best, everybody. And I also just want to say thank you to everyone who already became patrons on Patreon, because we raised about $250 for Black Lives Matter this month. And I'm super just like fucking proud of y'all. And thank you so much for getting behind this really, really important cause with me. Also, before we get into Roni, I had a little woo-woo moment that I want to share. And I mentioned to y'all that a few months ago, I was starting my manifestation work, my woo-woo work, as I call it. And right now in my woo-woo journey, I'm doing shadow work, which is like denied aspects of self that we've been told are like shameful or bad and that we should deny about ourselves, but they're part of like our authentic essence. And I had a breakthrough that I think might be helpful for people. So I want to share it. So I was thinking about like what my trigger words are for me, like words that if people call me that, it'll really hurt my feelings. And one of those words for me is sensitivity. Like my whole life, people have been like, you're really sensitive. You're like overly sensitive. You're so emotional. And I felt like sensitivity meant weakness. So I kind of denied that part of myself. And I was like, I can't be that. It makes me a target. I don't want to do that. And so I get really like embarrassed and defensive when people call me sensitive. But when I posted that raw contributor article that I wrote to accompany the podcast episode I did with Rachel, I had so many people sending me the kindest messages via DM on Facebook, like reaching out and just telling me that they were able to connect with it. And so I just want to give a brief shout out to like all my fellow sensitive people out there. Like I'm so fucking sick of the stigma around the word sensitive. Like that giving a fuck and like being emotional, like emotionally lit up by something makes you like weak or lame. Like as much as I love Erica Jane, I give so many fucks and like I'm a deeply empathic and compassionate person. And I think those things are fucking cool too. And I don't think they're embarrassing. And I don't think any of us should be ashamed for being sensitive. So for anyone else who needs to hear that, I think sensitivity and vulnerability is beautiful and it's strong and it needs to be destigmatized and it doesn't make you crazy and it's not embarrassing. And anyone who thinks that it is, I think maybe you should examine your shadow around sensitivity, around that word. And maybe face the fact that you're projecting shame onto sensitive people because you're jealous that you've built up such a protective wall that you can't face your own feelings. And that's the tea. You know who can access their sensitive feelings, usually thanks to copious amounts of alcohol? The Real Housewives of New York fucking City. We're back after a brief hiatus. I have to say, I kind of enjoyed the break. I think Bravo, I'm getting bored of Bravo. I'm kind of having an identity crisis. I think I've said this before, so sorry if I'm repeating myself. But I am like, wow, I've been on this Bravo train for like over 10 years of my life. And like, you know, has the train approach the station? Am I over it? And that's a really scary thing to accept. But the thing is, in the immortal words of High School Musical, the first one, we're all in this together. And if Bravo, you know, continues to be kind of shitty and redundant and problematic, like we'll find something else to bond over. Pop culture is a beautiful thing because no matter what you're talking about, pop culture never dies. There's always something to discuss. You know what I mean? But let's get into this week's episode because it is back with a vengeance. It was a fucking mess. I will say that. It was a wild journey. We opened on Leah walking up to a spooky costume store. And Leah's like, oh my God, wow. And she's like, she FaceTimes Rob, her ex and Keir's dad. And she's like, hey, I'm at the Halloween store. Would you like to be a clown or a priest? And she's bringing Rob as a plus one to Luann's Halloween party and wants to see what the other ladies think of him and what he thinks of them. And then Dorinda shows up with a Halloween like headdress on, like this like feathered headband and a studded leather jacket. Like she's already in a costume just to shop for her costume. And Luann's like, my good friend Evan always has the most amazing Halloween party in New York. And she decides that this year, you know, even though she's performed at the party previously, she decided to take this year off because she wants to spend time with the girls. Also, we got these at-home confessionals. And I know I'm not the first and only one to say this because literally, how could I be? But these at-home confessionals were wild. Wild. I was like, where the fuck are we? What is going on? Dorinda's office setup was so ugly. It looked like she was in a circus tent. I was like, I thought you had better taste than that. It was a shocking roller coaster of emotions, like seeing those at-home confessionals. So then Dorinda's like, you know, I was totally Ramona-sized yesterday again. And Dorinda fills in Leah and Luann on like the birthday drama and her like Ramona like forcing Sonia and Dorinda to go with her to Larry Scott to plan her birthday. And Dorinda's like, you know, she barely spoke to us. Only wanted us there to take a picture with Larry. Picture doing this, promo doing this, 3 hours of my day. And they all agree that Ramona is just like judgy and a pain in the ass. They're all just kind of over her at this point. And then Luann brings up Tinsley leaving and Dorinda goes, you know, the good news is it frees up a room in the Berkshires. And then she compares herself to a tiger and Tinsley to a rabbit. And I'm honestly like, as much as I miss Tinsley, I love Tinsley, I stan Tinsley. I'm so over this like La Raquel dynamic with Dorinda and Tinsley, like the prey and the preyed. And I'm just like, I'm over it. I'm like, Dorinda, why are you so triggered by Tinsley? I have my theories, but that's neither here nor there. Then they try on armor and Leah goes, that looks good on you. And Dorinda goes, it does actually. And then we cut to Ramona arriving at drinks with Rory, the matchmaker. And we find out Rory set her up with Brian, aka the infamous red scarf guy that like Bethany went out with slash Carol went out with. And like maybe Ramona went out with, like I'm unclear. But Ramona's like, you know, he really fit everything in my box. Now, I don't know if I'm making this up. Okay. I don't want to be like a fourth grader being like, is that a sexual term? But like, I could have sworn that box was another name for vagina. Because if so, Ramona being like, he really fit everything in my box has like a double entendre to it. And I love that for her. never forget the time we were subjected to watching Ramona rub Mario down with oils while she was like in lingerie. And he just looked wildly uncomfortable because he was cheating on her at the time. Ramona's a sexual being and she wants everyone to know it. We also find out that in a partner, Ramona wants a best friend who makes her laugh, but who also wants someone to go to Europe with her in the summer. So, I'm sorry, I said that weird. She also wants someone to go to Europe with her in the summer, okay? And Ramona's like, I want it all. I want it all. Girl, I never settle for less. I only settle for more. And she needs a man who has the same worth as her. She said she had a renaissance of thought and she really loves herself and she doesn't care if she finds a man or not because she loves herself. And I was like, Ramona, literally, why is that a revelation? Like, she's always been obsessed with herself. Like, literally always. And then Ramona's like, you know what? Age is just a number. Look at me. Age is just a number. It's all in here. Oh my gosh. Also, I forgot about their new taglines. Sorry, guys. I forgot about the new taglines. I don't like them. That's really all I have to say. You know, Dorinda's like a mint in my mouth. I can be a bit fresh. I don't really like any of them better than the taglines they already had. And I really miss Leah's. That's like, I may float like a butterfly, but I sting like a bitch. I thought that was a badass line. Yeah, I don't like the new taglines. Like, why did they have to change them? Why did you do that to me? Okay, oh my God. Am I drunk? Or just tired. So then Sonia meets with Elise for drinks. And Sonia's like, I've had no food all day. And we find out Elise is feeling used by Ramona. And like they're only BFFs when Ramona needs something. Ugh, tale as old as time. True as it can be. We find out that Ramona downplayed Sonia's exciting news about her collab with Century 21. Because Ramona's like, oh yeah. Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I used to shop there. I used to buy clothes for them. And Elise is like, you know what it is? Ramonaville is filled with a lot of one-way streets. God, Elise is just like really trying to like make every scene into like a Sex and the City scene. Like, I feel like that's like a scene or like a line that Carrie would say. Like when Carrie always tries to be so fucking clever, she's like, well, this is how Carrie would say it. You know what it is? Mirandaville is filled with a lot of one-way streets. Like Elise fully thinks that she's in a Sex and the City moment. But she's true. Oh my gosh. But she's right. Ramona's just the queen of double standards and bullshit. So then Sonia's like, let's just say cheers to us. I have a lot of one-way friends. You know how much dirt I have on Ramona that I can hold her liable for? I would never, but she doesn't have to know that. And then we cut to Dorinda and Hannah. And I feel like Hannah would for sure be played by Dakota Johnson if Dakota Johnson like actually knew how to project. And wasn't just like always coming from a place of like, oh, Christian Grey. And they're arguing about Hannah being cold and wearing a vest. And Dorinda's like really worked up. She's like, you're not dressed warm enough. This is ridiculous. Hannah, I mean it. Put this on. You'll make me upset. And Hannah's like, please, no. I feel guilt, please. And then Dorinda's like, then you could wear a hoop too. I live a block away. And Hannah's like, well, I live a block away too. That's not a good impression, but that's like Hannah's essence to me. And Dorinda's like, don't you feel better already? And Hannah's like, uh-huh, yeah. Jake also observed that they were wearing matching gloves, which was like maybe cute, maybe annoying. I can't decide. And then they go to get burgers. And we find out that Dorinda is really passionate about sauces, and honestly, same. Dorinda's like, Hannah once asked me what I would bring if I were in a desert island, and I said Hellman's mayonnaise. And honestly, this hasn't been a great season for Dorinda. I haven't really enjoyed her, but I fucking love mayonnaise, and I'm so sick of being mayo shamed in this world that I found this moment with Dorinda to be like a personal moment of connection for us, and I found it to be very refreshing. Then they talk about Richard, and oh, also I made this note that Hannah has Meryl Streep circa the Iron Lady teeth, and it's like really British and chic, in my opinion. And then Hannah's like, you had a bad, bad, bad hand, and you didn't turn it into a straight, but you made a very pretty picture out of it. And then Dorinda like starts sobbing, and she's like, you know, I feel like I've done a lot of growing. I think it's the first time Hannah's seen me fully Dorinda with no labels, and I think she's really enjoying that complete independence with me. And I was like, I mean, fucking duh. Like, of course Hannah's enjoying seeing you independent, because John was just like a sweaty, ruddy, coked out man who was always around and in the way of Hannah's relationship with Dorinda. And they're like best friends, but John like clearly created tension. So like, no shit, Dorinda. Hannah is thrilled to see you independent and single right now. And then Hannah's like, I want to plan a birthday dinner for you. I just like really want to do that for you. Like, and then Dorinda's like, I want to do it at Rikers. And Hannah's like, what? That's where prisoners go. And that's how that scene ended. Then Leah, Keir, and Rob go to Chinatown to get dinner. And Leah's like, we know the spots to eat at. It's not just all about the Upper East Side. Also, I made a note that Rob is hot. And look, I said what I said, okay? I enjoyed watching him slurp down his egg drop soup and dumpling, and it is what it is. You know, there was a point in my life where I thought Richie from Real Housewives of New Jersey was hot. I think Rob is hot. You know, a circle is not a square. Things don't always make sense, okay? Then Leah to Rob in front of Keir is like, isn't it weird that me and Rob have been single for 12 years and neither of us have moved on in our relationship? And they talk about like Leah's mom and like Leah needing to give her mom more credit. And then Leah's like, my sister likes to say that my mother and I can only show each other love through arguing. It may be why I'm still single. I don't know. And then Leah talks about how she got kicked out when she was 17. And she's like, they say it was 19, but like, what's the difference? And Keir throws some 12-year-old shade, okay? Some thick shade at Leah being like, well, why didn't you go to college? And like, 19 is like kind of old to live at home. And this is why I don't have like a maternal pull right now. I'm like starting to get like tingles of it, but I'm not like, God, I'd be a great mom. Because if my kid was being a shady bitch to me, I'd be like, that's fucking rude. Stop. Like, I'm too petty to be a mom. Do you know what I mean? And kids have like no filter. They just say whatever the fuck they want, whatever the fuck they think, even if it's a little rude. And like, I'm too fragile for that. You know what I mean? Speaking of the word sensitive. Then Leah's like, don't annoy me because I'm PMSing. And then Kira's like, don't make that an excuse. And I'm like, oh, just buckle up, bitch, because hormones are the fucking worst. I also made a note that Kira has done better work in her like 45 cumulative seconds on screen this entire season than Victoria Lesseps has literally ever done. And I know that's a hot, piping hot take, but it's my truth. We cut to Luann's glam situation at the hotel next to where her Halloween party is, where she's getting ready. And she's Leah's like, I'm going to be a voodoo slut. And Luann comes in to like see the space before the party, to see her friend Evan, who's like planning it. And she's like, Evan, hi. And she just rolls in head-to-toe sequins and a sequin drum major hat that I honestly lived for. And she's like, yeah, it's like a voodoo priestess theme. And I'm like, okay, you call it voodoo priestess. I call it American Horror Story Roanoke, okay? 100%. I was just like waiting to see Lady Gaga like fucking Cuba Gooding Jr. in a forest. You know what I mean? We're also subjected to Luann speaking French like a pretentious asshole. And also, I made a note that Roni lives for a seafood tower, loves a seafood tower. And even at this fucking American Horror Story Roanoke themed Halloween party, there are still seafood towers. We love to see it, but like spooky seafood towers. So like an octopus like draped over the top dramatically. Ramona then rolls up with her friend Missy, and she bought an extra costume for Sonia because she hasn't liked Sonia's costumes lately. And I'm like, literally, why is whether or not you like Sonia's costumes literally any of your business? And then Ramona and Missy walk in and they're like, oh, wow. Oh, my God. What's that? Oh, what? And Ramona is deeply offended by the skull cross. And she's like, you know, my priest will not like this. Is this sacrilegious? Because I'm religious. And then they see these like fake animal heads, these like cut off animal heads, like very like Lord of the Flies energy, just like laid on the table. And Ramona's like, why would they do that? There's like dead heads everywhere. Okay. Then Ramona wanted the party to start early. Yes, this was wild. We find out that Ramona wanted the party to start early so that she could make it to another man friend's party downtown. And she was all salty when no one else wanted to start early. And I'm like, okay, but that's not how parties work. You don't just say, like, you don't just get invited to a party and be like, okay, but there's a better one I want to go to later. Can you start earlier? Like, she expects everyone to be on her fucking time. She's literally so obnoxious, I can't even stand it. It's, like, not even entertaining anymore. It just infuriates me. Then Dorinda, Elise, and Sonia are on the way. And Sonia is blitzed. And she's like, Dorinda, you guys bring it, girl! And she's, like, complimenting Dorinda's costume. And she's like, what do you think I was doing before this party? Getting lit with my hair and makeup team. That's what you do. It's a national holiday in my career. And if you're not, you should just stay home because you're just dead weight. Sonia's costume reminded me of Lady Gaga's aesthetic in her like 0.2 seconds in American Horror Story Roanoke. I think it was like the wig and the headpiece. And I was like, okay, I'm honestly into this wig on Sonia. And then Sonia's like, she has these two voodoo dolls, these like faux voodoo dolls that she does really wild work with throughout the episode. And she's like, in your ear, in your rear, Ramona. I'm so mad at Ramona. Just like fucked up. And then people start to arrive at the party, including Sonia's friend Andrew. First of all, Sonia's friend Andrew looks like Cogsworth at the end of Beauty and the Beast when he turns into a human again. I'll repeat that because I was laughing. Sonia's friend Andrew looks identical to Cogsworth in the end of Beauty and the Beast when he turns into a human again. And Ramona's like, oh, hi, look at you. Hi. That, what voice was that? I feel like a couple weeks off and my impressions are like, what? Okay, Ramona's like, oh, look at you. Hi. Hi. Oh, where'd you get this paunch from? That's so funny. It looks so real. And he's like, my paunch, I'm in love. That's where it's from. And he like handles it like a champ. He's like, it's all me, and kind of just like makes a joke out of it. But I was like, Ramona, you know, we all know you're not fucking with it. You say dumb shit literally all the time. Never comment on someone's body literally ever. And listen, on a personal level, I've been every size in the book. I've had an unhealthy relationship to food throughout my entire life, okay? And I'm at the point where I'm like, no one comments on anyone's body fucking ever. Even if you think you're saying something nice, oh my God, you look so skinny. No, no, just don't fucking say it. Everybody's beautiful, Ramona. Shut the fuck up about his paunch, okay? So then, Dorinda is very impressed by the party. And she's like, this is an amazing setup. They took a page from the Dorinda book. And then Jill Zarin shows up to get ready for the party. And we meet Jill Zarin's boyfriend, Gary, which was sweet. And she's drinking her Diet Coke like her fucking life depends on it. We love to see it. And she's like, so can I be pretty in this outfit? Or like, do I have to be weird looking? Like, I want to be a pretty hooker. That's my look. Then Sonia continues to do her passive aggressive voodoo doll work. And she's like, in your ear, in your rear. And Ramona's looking at her like, what the fuck? And Sonia's like, look, you know what? Boom, boom. And she's like smashing the dolls on top of each other. And she's like, you know why I'm mad at you? Because every time I talk to you, you bring it back to you. I say, I'm doing construction. You're doing construction. More important construction. I say my daughter's going to college. You say my daughter's going to college. My daughter is going to college. And she's like smashing the dolls against each other. And Ramona gets up performatively in true Ramona fashion. She's like, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And she hugs Sonia. And Dorinda's like, oh, here comes the apologizer. And she was in a rageful place of like Ariana to Jax at the reunion of like, I've fucking seen this before. You've done it before. You're going to do it again. Like, here comes the apologizer. Then Sonia calls out how Ramona treats Elise like she's at the bottom of the totem pole. And then Elise calls out that Ramona is not a girl's girl. And she's like, I'm a fucking good friend to you. And then Ramona, again, classic Ramona fashion, flees the scene. And Sonia drunkenly recalls the word Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude? Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Basically meaning she wants people to do well, but not better than her. And then Dorinda and Ramona briefly talk about the birthday party. And Ramona claims Dorinda and Sonia are most important. She's like, you are my most important friends, okay? You know, really? No, I'm serious. I seriously mean it. You two are, and Ramona's, and Dorinda's like, yeah, right, bitch. And Ramona claims that she has 80 girlfriends because she's just such a good friend, okay? And she's definitely one of those women that mixes up the word acquaintance with friend. Oh my God, she's my best friend. It's like, no, if we're all honest with ourselves, we only have a handful of best friends, like good friends, like get fucking real, okay? Okay, she's about quantity, not quality. Because if she were about quality, she would be nicer to Elise and not treat her like a fucking afterthought. Because I don't think Elise is that entertaining, but she does make astute observations. She has funny little one-liners, and she seems like she's been a good friend to Ramona. So then Dorinda calls out that Ramona only brought them out to the Larry Scott showroom to get a free party. And Ramona's like, what? No, I pay for my own party. No, 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 I pay for my own party. And Dorinda's like, Ramona, swear on your daughter's life that Larry's charging you. And Ramona's like, are you drunk now? You're drunk. You're drunk. And doesn't answer the question, refuses to swear on Avery's life, and she flees the scene again. I was like, comedic rule of threes. Is she going to flee a third time? Spoiler alert, she does. Luann and Leah then finally show up after what feels like 7,000 years of this party. And the ladies all meet Rob, and Rob's like, I'm all small and shit. Then Sonia drunkenly greets Luann. Luann also is picking up what I'm putting down on Rob being cute, which I appreciated. I felt seen. And also just seeing Jill was such a soothing sight. I was like, God, I miss her. Then Sonia says to Leah, I like you, but you're a weirdo. I like you. You're a weirdo and I like you, but can we keep it real then? And Leah's like, I don't know. Can you keep it real then? Maybe not. So why do I have to keep it real then? And Jill looked so fucking confused watching this interaction. But Leah's like, I feel like this is a fresh new start for me and Sonia. And Sonia's like, let's not be divisive. Let's be inclusive. And Luann's like, who wants to taste some alligator? No one likes the alligator. And then the gals are all offended that Ramona brought Missy. And it took me the entire fucking episode to process that she was Tom's ex. I was like, oh my gosh, that Missy. And Leah's like, shots fired. And then Luann's like, Ramona doesn't give a shit, really. And Jake noted in Luann's, this is the most important part of the entire episode, in Luann's at-home confessional, Jake noted that there is a large, like Sheena Shea-sized modeling photo of Luann in her background, in her home. And I just fucking loved that. It's so on brand for Luann. And it was a gorgeous photo. Good for her. He's also like deeply soothed by Jill and her maternal energy. Jake was just like, oh, Jill. Oh, I miss Jill. Then we get the reveal of Dorinda's hot young friend, William, who we saw earlier this season. And Dorinda is like peacocking the shit out of him. She's like, Ramona, you happy I brought William? I brought my good friend, William. Yay. Dorinda lives to like taunt people. And listen, I'm petty too, but I'm like, you're in your fucking 50s and you're literally tormenting people like every fucking chance you get. Like, grow up a little bit. Get a grip. Then Dorinda makes a toast and she's asking everyone what they think of friends drunk shaming friends. She's like, ding, 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 ding. Do you think it's nice when you have a girlfriend, when they don't like something, they say right away, are you drunk? And Leah's like, I'm drunk and I'm happy about it. And then Dorinda throws the word Schadenfreude at Ramona. And Sonia's like, why'd you do that, Ramona? You're terrible to me. Don't do that, Ramona. Don't say that. And Jill's like, wow, wow. I miss you girls. Cheers. Happy Halloween. Cheers. Wow, what a party. And Luann feels bad for Ramona. She's like, everyone's really ganging up on her. And Jill's like, is this how it always is? You walk into a room and Dorinda attacks somebody? And I'm like, honestly, Jill, yeah. That is how it always is. It used to be Tinsley, but Tinsley moved. So Dorinda just found somebody else. And Sonia is like drunkenly shoveling slop into her face. And it's like dribbling down her chin. It's a mood. It's a vibe. Then Elise approaches Ramona, but Ramona is having none of it. And then Ramona has a confessional where she's like, well, you know, as far as my friendship with Elise. And then Avery walks through in her fucking workout gear because Avery loves exercising more than anyone should. Not to exercise shame anybody, but I'm like, Avery, literally, like, I've never loved any human in my life. Avery loves working out more than I love my cat, it seems, and it's really wild. So Avery like struts through the background. She's like, oh my God, mom, stop wasting your energy on Elise. It's so annoying. Then Dorinda is carving a pig with a sharp knife in the middle of the table, which is honestly just a metaphor for like how she treats people this entire season, like her whole vibe. It's just her ripping people apart verbally like a pig carcass. Then Leah rips the octopus off the seafood tower and she's like, aah! And then Luann's like, don't fuck with my seafood tower. That was like her like Samantha Jones moment. And then Lou washes Leah's hand with vodka. Then Ramona leaves to go to Omar's, aka her like other Halloween party where she literally already wanted to be all night long. And then the ladies descend upon the dance floor. Sonia clutches her voodoo dolls like they're her actual children. Rob looks uncomfortable and he's like, I don't know how my life ended up like this, but here we are. And that's the end of the episode. What a fucking mess. What a ride. Next week, the ladies arrive at the Berkshires. Lou gets put in the fish room again. Ramona tensions continue to run high throughout the group. Ramona blocked Elise on social media and claims that she has 50 close friends. Ramona says to Dorinda, you were so narcissistic. And Dorinda goes, narcissistic. Lou and Sonia then get into it. And Lou goes, I don't need you. Go fuck yourself. Ugh, the drama. So that's the that on that. That was this week's episode. You know, I think this show's starting to get a little redundant. I'm like slurring through it as I'm saying, it's starting to get a little redundant. I feel like it's starting to get a little bit redundant because it's the same fucking formula. It's like filler, filler, filler. Someone gets wasted, drunkenly flies off the handle and yells at somebody. And I'm like, is that just what this show is now? Like every episode feels exactly the same. The same way Beverly Hills feels like filler, 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 and then a tense dinner, and then the episode's over. It's just like the formula is getting so obvious and I'm just getting fucking bored. I also want to apologize because honestly, I don't feel like my impressions were as good this week. I took a couple weeks off. I got to get back into them. Forgive me. I will get there. It's going to be okay. And also, I just want to say, with Roni kind of starting to bore me, Beverly Hills boring me, Vanderpump Rules might as well be canceled at this point. I'm so fucking excited for Potomac to come back August 2nd. And y'all, if you are not caught up on Potomac, I've said it before, I will say it again. Monty from Mixing with Monty, friend of the pod, got me into it a while ago. I binged it at the beginning of quarantine. You have a full month to get caught up and it is fucking perfection. So super excited for that. Y'all should be too. Thank you all so much again for listening. I hope you had a great week. Hang in there. Keep fighting the good fight. Stay sparkly. Stay safe. And we'll see you next week. Bye.